So from Dogen's extensive record, universally recommended instructions for Zazen. I won't read the whole thing again, but I want to talk about a few of the sentences that are in here and focus on the second to last paragraph. But just to begin, the opening, the way is originally perfect and all-pervading. How could it be contingent on practice and realization? So this was Dogen's, his koan, really. Why is it that we need to practice if we already are or have the Buddha nature? Why do we need to sit in this way? Why do we devote ourselves to this practice if everything is already perfect, in a sense, if everything is already of the nature of enlightenment? And so, of course, this question was not answered to his satisfaction by his teachers in Japan, so he traveled to China to explore this question, this koan, and worked with a number of different teachers there. Was even offered transmission by one teacher and refused it because he still did not feel satisfied, till finally he sat with another teacher and apparently heard the line that the body and mind drop away. And on hearing that line, had his own realization, and then traveled back to Japan. Where, of course, we know his story. Thereafter was not necessarily an easy one. Here, someone we might describe as a highly evolved practitioner still arrived back in Japan, taught in his resident monastery temple for a period of time, then left and established a new temple, and it got burned down by people who didn't like him. People in the area who were competing, in a way, for disciples. And he was forced to leave and went and established a new monastery quite a ways away, a temple quite a ways away from there. And then suffered from depression for a period of time in his life. Struggled with this depression, which affected his teaching and his writing. About the experience of practice and how practice is about realizing delusions. Practice is not just some aloof thing where we transcend what we are, but it is also very much about realizing what we are. And so this is Dogen's great contribution, in a way, is this teaching. This teaching that it is not about escaping our current condition, but about realizing our current condition and realizing our true nature. So, quite a thing for him to have had this experience and to have been so humbled in his own practice and in his own life, to not attain something and suddenly live a conflict-free existence. You know, of course, he was accused of all kinds of things when his temple was burned down. And we might think, oh, if I practice, I'll never experience sadness or depression. That is not borne out by these people who we look to as our teachers in our ancestry. Still, we find such great faith in the writings of Dogen, a great faith in the nature of reality. And so this is, for me, the deepest teaching of Dogen. What Dogen offers is that that though we may not personally be transformed in some permanent way by our practice, still we do come or can come to appreciate very deeply the nature of reality, the nature of things as they are. In other words, enlightenment is not something that is personal. It's not actually about me or you or us suddenly attaining some particular capacity. It's about the nature of reality, the nature of life, some appreciation that we have for the nature of things, be they good or bad, regardless. So the content of our experience may not change very much at all, and still a practice worth doing. This was Dogen's koan, right? This realization that that the teaching, the Dharma, is not about, you know, me being something special or attaining something special. We all already are the Buddha nature. We really just lack faith in that frequently. We lack faith that what we are experiencing in this moment, in this very life, this very moment, is in fact the life of Buddha. And so we're offered pointers, right, to help us realize, to have moments of realization, oh, this, really, really, just this is it. And that can at first sound disappointing, oh, just this, but really, just this is quite remarkable. We are, in fact, so profoundly interwoven and expansive in our awareness. I am not only aware of something inside of me functioning. I feel this awareness extend out into the world. And that's a remarkable thing. So our nature is that we are made of things that are not ourselves. A profound sense of intimacy in that. Something remarkable. So we do get lost. We get lost in our ideas about what enlightenment should be. We get lost in our ideas about what we should be. And when we are lost, that hair's breadth of deviation from what we actually are creates suffering for us. We imagine if we can look outside of ourselves to something, if we can find a way to become something better than what we are in this given moment, then we will be happy. And of course, that is the hair's breadth deviation. That is the place where we get lost. And so we practice like Buddha, sitting for 6 years, really looking closely at the nature of things as they are. Like Bodhidharma, for 9 years facing a wall. And we can put aside the intellectual practice of imagining what we should be. Oh, enlightenment will make me like this or that. Or if I can just understand the Dharma better, if I can just understand the teachings better, if I can gain some intellectual insight or understanding, I could create a map. And that map would bring me somewhere other than where I am. And of course, that's that hair's breadth deviation. There is no map that you need. There is nowhere that we need to get to. If you want to attain suchness, practice suchness immediately. Right now, right here, sitting on the cushion. Enlightenment, such a grandiose term, right? Enlightenment. Is here. This is it. And if you feel disappointed, that's fine. Disappointment is okay. maybe just let ourselves feel completely disappointed. Oh, darn, I came for something else. I came to be something else, to become somebody else. That's what I thought this practice held out for me. If you keep aiming somewhere else, it will be impossible to realize what you are. So much of this work is about letting go of those designs, letting go of our secret practices, our aims toward being things other than what we are. And how do we let go of them? By just realizing that that's what we're doing. Oh, I'm sitting here with this thought that if I can attain something different, then I will be enlightened. To realize those delusions, if you will, is enlightenment. That is Dogen's teaching. Because that is what we are in this given moment. So just to see it. Cast down your bucket where you are. Put aside all involvements and suspend all affairs. Do not think good or bad. Oh, my practice is bad. Oh, my practice is good. This moment is good. This moment is bad. Well, it doesn't really matter. Because this is what we've got. This is our chance to wake up right here. Bad, good. Bad can be just as good as good. In the sense of offering a Dharma gate, an opportunity. Sometimes that first noble truth that life includes suffering is deeply meaningful and important because were it not for that suffering, we might just glide along and not really pay attention. Suffering wakes us up. We feel some pain and we take a look at it. And because of that, it's a Dharma gate. We can see deeply into our suffering and we can see its nature, the way that it unfolds and evolves, its lack of fixed essence, its impermanent qualities, its energetic qualities. And just letting it be. Everything naturally goes its own way. Nothing for us to worry about. Not even suffering. So no need to worry about good or bad in this practice. Do not judge true or false. Thoughts come along. Oh, here's a thought I really believe. You know, true thoughts, false thoughts. Those reactivity, that level of reactivity of the mind, believing, not believing. We get so caught up in our stories about how the world is. And in getting so caught up in our stories about how the world is, we lose touch with how the world actually is. We no longer feel our knees on the cushion, no longer hear the airplane in the sky. We're so concerned with right and wrong. Give up the operations of mind, intellect, and consciousness. Now, this is an interesting statement, right? I'm going to follow this out. Stop measuring with thoughts, ideas, and views. Have no designs on becoming a Buddha. Don't aim outside ourselves. Think not thinking. Not thinking. What kind of thinking is that? Beyond thinking. This is the essential art of Zazen. So there's quite a bit in this paragraph here about how not to practice. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't bother thinking right or wrong. And yet we do, right? We do think right and wrong. We do judge. We do have views. We do have hopes and expectations. So how do we think not thinking while we are thinking? Not thinking. What kind of thinking is that? This is a very deep question. So as I've mentioned, Dogen says, to realize delusions is enlightenment. How so? Because thoughts have no essence. They just pass through. They just pass by. They float right through the atmosphere. And so often we're so caught up in them that we are quite eclipsed by them. And we get carried along the thought train and we believe those thoughts so deeply. But to sit is to notice the nature of thinking itself. Thinking is not thinking. All these words I'm saying, jib, jab, jib, jab, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. They're just words. Everything just pointing toward what we are in each moment. Where else would we realize that but in what we are in each moment? Beyond thinking. What kind of thinking is not thinking? It's beyond thinking. No need to worry about our thinking. We just let our thinking pass through the landscape of our awareness. And it does, remarkably. Because it has no essence, it just goes on its own way, and there's nothing that we need to do about it. Another way of describing beyond thinking is embodied thinking. To just be embodied is to be deeply connected with this moment. All of our senses arising through this body. Don't separate from this skin bag here and now, says Hakuin. And in that connectedness to our bodies, thoughts are just these floating little birds chirping away. We just see them as thoughts, that's all. No problem. And in this way, we are open to a wider landscape than just our thinking. In this sitting, the universe holds our thinking. The landscape becomes the foreground rather than the background. And thoughts just pass on through. This is the essential art of Zazen. Dogen, such a beautiful pointer, I think, remarkable. This strong encouragement for us to truly abandon any hope for anything other than what we are, and to really open our hearts wide to what we are in this given moment through our practice, through our bodies. To be willing to give up our sense of direction altogether. Imagine that. Give up our sense of direction. Which way am I headed? Which way am I going? What do I want? What do I need? To heck with all that. Just put it down. Just put it down. Just be here. That's it. Be in our bodies. Be physically present. Hear the sounds of the world. The wackiness of this heat in this building, the banging doors, the wind blowing. The sensations of our bodies, our breathing. Thoughts passing through, no problem. Arising, dissolving, all of this already Buddha nature. Put away the map. Thank you.